About 10 days ago, I was invited into the P2s at Burnside Primary, who have been doing harvest as one of their topics. And they invited me to talk to them about what the church is doing at Harvest Thanksgiving. It was brilliant because I got to take along the picture of the farm that I grew up on and got to bathe in a load of nostalgia, and they sang Big Red Combine at the end. So it was fantastic. But it made me think, so what actually are we doing at Harvest Thanksgiving? Well, one of the things that we do is we have a beautiful display, and thank you to the folks who are in on Friday morning putting this together, which represents all of the good stuff that God has given us. And so at Harvest Thanksgiving, we are giving thanks. But we're also reminding ourselves how privileged we are, that we have lots and lots of stuff to be grateful to God for. We remind ourselves, too, of those who aren't in the same privileged position as us. And that's why there's an opportunity to give goods and give money to the Lodging House Mission, because that's exactly the work that they are involved in. And it reminds us, too, of our responsibility to care for the planet, to care for the environment, to care for the world that God has made and that is so beautiful. And so we do all of these things on Harvest Thanksgiving. And it was great, actually, to just have that wee prompter from P2s saying, what's Harvest Thanksgiving about? What are you doing? One of the lecturers in Glasgow University, a theology lecturer, always asks his students to think of what name of God are we using today? Or what name for God are we using today? And by that he means that there are lots of names of God in the Bible. There's God our Redeemer. There's Yahweh, the Lord of hosts. All of these things. And at harvest, we remember the Creator God, Elohim, the God who has made everything. And when we think of the Creator God, well, we look at the flowers, we look at the plants, etc. And that's what we think of as beauty. But actually, in a sense, it's helpful to think of harvest in the big story of the Bible. Adrian talked about the Bible as a big story. And that big story is from creation in the Garden of Eden right to Revelation, God's new creation. And so harvest reminds us that we are actually in that Bible big story. And at harvest, we tend to think of all sorts of scenes. We think of mellow fruitfulness, all of these things. But actually, today, we're going to the new creation. We're thinking of God, the Creator, the creation that we live in, but also the new creation that God has promised. We read two sections from Revelation, where God says, behold, I make everything new. This verse is one of the most comforting verses in the Bible. A new heaven, a new earth. The first heaven, the new earth, the first earth had passed away, and there'll be no more tears. And so actually, as we think of God as our Creator, we comfort ourselves that our God who provides everything around us is making everything new. And when everything is made new, well, what we have now is just a shadow of what's to come. But it's a real shadow, a lovely shadow. We see in Revelation chapter 22, the idea of God's garden city. Revelation chapter 21 talks about the holy city, and then the verses that we read in chapter 22, we have this kind of picture of a garden within the city. Now, I don't know what your idea of beauty is. My idea of beauty at this time of year, of course, is the change in colors in the trees. There are apples on the trees, on the ground, leaves on the ground, just everything swirling gently with, of course, sunshine because it's Scotland. Just autumnal beauty. And yet, in Revelation chapter 21 and 22, God doesn't give us the new earth as a beautiful garden with hardly any people, but actually gives a picture of a city. And so the big story of the Bible goes from a garden in Genesis to a city in Revelation. And that's because God's definition of beauty goes further than ours. The God who made all the beautiful colors that we see round about us, of course, loves nature and all of these things, but above all, loves people. The highest point of God's creation, you, me, living, breathing people. And that's why God regards the city as something beautiful, because it's full of people. And so our harvest view may well be a picture of beauty. The fields of wheat, hopefully with no politicians running through the middle of them. Leaves, all of these things. But actually, God says, here's my view of beauty. It's you. It's me. It's people. Ironically then, in God's eye, a thriving city, or even a city of refugees where people are crammed together and we see only squalor and horror there, God looks on and sees beauty. Not in the circumstances in which the people find themselves, but because God's definition of beauty is about people made in His image. So God's garden city just changes for us that definition of beauty. So that if a view's not that great out the window someday, well, you can look in the mirror and say, wow, well, there's a fantastic view there. And God says, made in my image, beautiful. And in these verses, we have the vista drawn of a river full of the water of life. And you thought you were having a Sunday off from Ezekiel, but no, we need a wee Ezekiel reference here. In Ezekiel chapter 47, there's a picture of a river. And that river flows from the temple. But in Revelation chapter 22, the river, full of the water of life, flows from the throne of God and with Jesus there. Why the difference? Well, in the Old Testament, the temple represented God's dwelling. It was representative. But in the new creation, we don't need any representation any longer because God is there. We're able to see the Lamb of God. And so we don't need the building to represent His presence because He is there. In our evening services, we've been looking at Ephesians. And one of the things that Ephesians tells us, is that God's dwelling is in the church. So actually, God dwells here among us. So in the new heaven, the new earth, these waters of life, but also the reminder that God is there. We get to see Him. We get to see the crucified King. And then we have this picture of paradise regained. Remember, we're working within the big story. So in the beginning, there was the tree of life. And humans were told, don't eat from it, and disobeyed. And then, at the end of the story, when everything is redeemed, everything is made new, we see the tree bearing crops. You can picture it, can't you? Beautiful apples, fruit, whatever color. And God has made it new. And it's all there for His people. The big story is about the reversal of what went wrong in the first place, where there is disobedience, there'll be a joyful obedience. Where there was a tree that was forbidden, the tree is for everyone. And so we have paradise regained. But as we think about harvest, there's a kind of mixture there. Because in the harvest, we have a reminder both of God's provision, but we also have a reminder that we are fallen people, that we're people who are sinful, and we live in a world which has been spoiled by the fall, which has been spoiled by what went wrong at the Garden of Eden. In 1845, the harvest should have been great, but actually, throughout Europe, potato blight hit. And from 1845 to 1852, this mold growing on potatoes ripped apart Ireland and was, to some degree, responsible for the Irish diaspora. Out of every curse, there comes a blessing, eh? But it's a reminder that at the harvest, we have blessing with provision, but we also have a reminder of the curse. Where in amongst the harvest grow the weeds, and in amongst the joy of getting the harvest home, there's the sweat and toil and the things going wrong. My father was always at his most stressed at the harvest and his most relieved at the end of the harvest. So there you have it, the blessing, but also a reminder that we live in a fallen world. And so our displays, well, we've done a big supermarket job. We've picked out the beautifully shaped fruit, and the ones that are a bit distorted, well, they'll not go on the display. We're a people who are blessed, but we're a people also who live under the curse because of sin. And harvest reflects that. But in Revelation 22, we are told that there is no longer any curse. Why? All things are made new. But how is that possible? Well, in Galatians chapter 3, we're given the answer. That Jesus became a curse so that the curse would be removed from us. Jesus did what we couldn't do for ourselves. And so, the harvest points us to the Redeemer, the one who did what we couldn't do, the one who became a curse so that we are blessed. In Revelation chapter 21, we read of the waters of life, satisfying thirst. But in John chapter 19, we read of Jesus on the cross saying, "I am thirsty." Again, he took the curse so we could be blessed. So the harvest points us to the fact that we live under a curse, but also the fact that that curse is reversed, that we are made new. We are given a new identity. In Revelation chapter 22, we have this picture of people with a new name, the name of Jesus, tattooed on them. We are given our new identity because Jesus has done all of this for us. We're in the era of identity politics, aren't we? I'm this, I'm that. And Jesus says to us, you don't have to worry about what you think you are if you're in me. You're a new creation. The old is gone, and your identity doesn't have to be tied up with your own hang-ups, but instead is in me, the one who lived and died for you. And so we have this wonderful picture of God's garden city. Harvest points us backwards with regret because we see the toil of harvest. But it points us forward with joy and reminds us that actually we see the toil, but also we see the reward of work. And we see that God blesses work. And that work is in Christ. We are blessed. So what? So what are the implications of this garden city for here and now? Well, very simple. Care for the city. I think it was within about 3 weeks of me arriving here that the first person to inform me, I'm sure it was Alan Hudson, informed me that actually we don't live in the city, but that Glasgow is a suburb of Rutherglen, if you know your history. So we care for the city. As Raglonians, we'll care for Glasgow. But seriously, we are called to care for the people round about us. We are citizens of the kingdom. The garden city points to the kingdom that is to come. But we already are citizens of the kingdom. So we are called to live out in the here and now the values of the kingdom that is to come. How do we do that? We do that in all sorts of simple ways. We do it by seeing the beauty of God in our neighbor. We say, oh yeah, they are beautiful. I see the best in them because they are made in the image of God. We do it by valuing beauty, by maybe taking a packet of seeds and growing something beautiful from it. Or in my case, taking a packet of seeds and thinking somebody else managed to grow something beautiful from a packet like this. We care for the city by caring for the community of which we are part. You see, the harvest is not just about the fields. It's not just about the farmers. Although, of course, it's good to remember them and give thanks for them. But it's about the city. And it's about the beauty that we see round about us, even when we're not in the middle of green fields. And it's about caring for the place that God has put us here and now, because we live in preparation for there and then. We're not called to lose ourselves in the there and then. But actually, we are called to make the here and now about preparation for there and then. Jesus did it for us when he became a curse so that we could be blessed. But he did it too so that we could be a blessing to the city, to the suburb, to the country, to the people, to the land, to the world, which God loved. We look forward in faith for that new heaven and new earth. But part of looking forward in faith is getting on with living the kingdom here and now in Rutherglen, in Cambuslang, Lang, in Glasgow, wherever we happen to find ourselves. And so tomorrow, what's Harvest Thanksgiving about? It's giving thanks for the goods. It's caring for the world which produced the goods. And it's caring for the most beautiful thing that God has created, the people round about us, made in his image. Let's truly go from here with harvest thanksgiving in our hearts. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the city. We thank you for the town. We thank you for the garden. We thank you for the field. And we thank you for this wonderful image that we have to look forward to of the new creation, when everything is made new, freed from the effects of the curse. But we thank you too for your call to us to live here and now as citizens of your kingdom, looking forward, but also living forward. In Jesus' name, Amen.